look into your holiness. When I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me are shadows to the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching in your
God. Good morning. We are again at God's dining table. You know, I think many times when we say words like this, it doesn't really carry the full force of the meaning. But the angels dine also. They praise God. And when they open up themselves to praise, the glory of God and the power of God flow into them. That's what gives them the power to do what they have to do and to exist. And so when we begin to praise, we open up to the Lord and His power comes into us. And you can feel when the power of God is really moving in the people, when the glory of God is coming down in the praises. Mm-hmm. And so, praise God. This morning, we have a word here from the Lord. We have a word here from the Lord. And I am happy to give you words from the Lord. When I say words from the Lord, I mean something that God gives me last night to give you, mm-hmm. or this morning. And so, I come with a full knowledge of God being ready to bless His people. Turn with me as a preamble to what I'm about to say to Ephesians. And it's something I want to show you here in chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Yesterday, we came to the point where it was revealed here that the saints were in the building with us here. Amen. And they were listening and assisting, yes, in our worship. We must understand that in this battle we are not alone, that God is using the angels, brethren who have passed on before. They are in the angelic host, and they come to our assistance, especially when there are devils that are strong and stronger than we are to disrupt and destroy us, that God Almighty send his holy angels to come and strengthen us. You remember he sent an angel to strengthen Jesus, not angel, but angels, to strengthen him after he had fasted and was hungry. Angels came, strengthened him. They even brought natural food and gave him. Amen. So we are people who must have the understanding that we are working with heaven, yeah, with the angelic host. Mm-hmm. There are things we can do that will destroy. Things we can do that will destroy the contact. Because if you do certain things, the angels cannot stand with you. I remember a story that Sadhur Sundar Singh told. And he said he was praying for his cousin that he be delivered from fornication and things like that, those kinds of sins. And he said, Jesus came to him and said, come with me and let me show you the situation. So he found himself in the man's bedroom with Jesus there. And as they looked on, he was under grave temptation from a woman. And that the angels came and was ministering to him, whispering in his ears, helping him to resist. And when he actually fell down, the angels covered their faces. It's not a wonderful thing to have to understand that God is working with you, and you do something, you get in a temper, you drive the spirits of God away from you. Amen. If you find that you're going to get in a temper, just begin to pray and say, Lord God, have mercy upon me. Amen. Because if you get in a temper, immediately you get in a temper, it is the control of an evil spirit. Yeah. And he immediately, the host of heaven that God has sent to help you will have to withdraw from you. Amen. Now, that being so, let us look at God's perfect will for us. We have been attacked all night. Of course, I don't think that Satan would take such a beating and not respond. Hallelujah. I am patience. But the attack was so great, we couldn't eat at all yesterday. We couldn't eat this morning either. Amen. The attack upon the physical. Amen. I'd never seen such an attack before. Amen. But praise God, we are going to move into the Word of God. Hallelujah. With as much power as God will allow. He says we should turn to John, the Apostle John. And Jesus Christ in the John chapter 17 is praying for us. In verse 5, he said to the Father, "Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Think of it a little bit. Father God, the glory of heaven, which we cannot even conceive, the power of such a glory, which you and I had before we built this world. Give it back to me now. Now, as I remember, he had shed off his glory, his power. He took off his omniscience. He couldn't see everything. He took off his omnipresence. He couldn't be everywhere at the same time. He took off his omnipotence. He didn't have the power, all the power that he had in him. He put them aside. And he put on humanity. High. And he came down to earth. And he's saying now to God, "Now, Lord God, give it back to me now. Give it to me now." And immediately God would respond to Jesus and gave him the power. And then in verse 22, he said, "And the glory which thou gavest me." Remember in verse 5, that is a minute or so before. He said, "Give me the glory." And then in verse 22, which is about a minute in speaking from the time he said that, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them." Why? "That they may be one, even as we are one." Now, can you imagine what I'm talking about? In the heart of God, there's one thing greater than anything else, that God wants a church that is one, that is together in one. And in the heart of Satan is the greatest thing that he has to do against God, is to divide us.
Yes, that's right.
And so all forms of division come about.
Amen.
The first division, he comes into the home and he divides man and wife. Then he goes into the church. He divides brother and brother. Sister and sister. Then he divides them into denominations. Do you know that it was the devil that invented the denomination? Yes. A denomination means a division. The devil invented denominations so that instead of having the body of Christ, we have different denominations. And I love to say sometimes, demoninations.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes I don't call words right, you know. But it sounds to me like they are demonized. God never formed one denomination.
Amen.
No.
Amen. Look back at the history.
Yes.
Never brought any division anyway.
Yes. Never brought a division among his people.
No.
Whether by doctrine or by anything else, God Almighty never divided us.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so, here is Jesus. Before he leaves this world, he's saying, I'm going to give you a certain glory, a certain power, a certain anointing. Amen. A certain revelation of the Spirit that will make you one with everybody else who has that revelation. Eh? Then more than that, he's saying that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he will gather together. Now, what is the dispensation of the fullness of times? What do you think it is? Well, times, he had seven times. 1,000 years, 2,000, 3, 4, 5, seven times. And he said on the seventh day, he will finish the work which he had begun and rest. We are the most blessed people on earth because we are the seventh, the people of the seventh millennium.
Yeah.
We are in the seventh millennium. Now, because we are in the seventh millennium, and we are fortunate to be at the beginning of the seventh millennium. That is, we are coming to midnight. And remember, it's dark. It's dark. It's very dark. There is an apostasy, a falling away of the church. It is very dark. And from midnight, then day begin to dawn, but you don't see it. You don't even see the day because it's still dark. But soon the sun will come forth.
Amen.
So God is saying he will bring together into one. Did I read it? I went to Ephesians.
Amen.
I did read it. Eh? In the dispensation of the fullness of time. He'll bring together into one all them that are in Christ. Hear this now. Both them on earth and those in heaven. So that means Peter and Paul and James and John and the hosts of God and the mighty men of God who have passed on are with us.
Amen.
Now, I remember telling you yesterday that there were different classes of angels in heaven. Different classes, and some of the angels had their bodies, their physical bodies with them.
Amen.
And that there were angels who came down and sat down at the table and ate the calf that was prepared. Ate a meal, angels eating food, natural food. And that it's not all classes of angels that could do that. Because another class of angel came down and saw Manoah's wife, and Manoah came with his calf ready to feed him. He said, though you prepare for me, I will not eat. And he took his staff and touched it, and fire went up into heaven. He never ate because he was a different class of angel. So the class of angel with their bodies, hallelujah, hallelujah, is the class that we are going to join.
Amen.
We are going to be eternal angels with a physical body. Do you understand it? So that if you die and you lose your body, there's going to be a resurrection and you're going to go pick up the body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all that Satan did to you will come to naught. He's a loser. No matter what he did to you, Brother Andre, no matter what the devil did to you, your body is broken, you are hurt, just laugh at him.
Mm-hmm.
One day, that body is going to get up and say, Satan, here am I.
Hallelujah.
And I'm alive forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory. Hallelujah.
I am alive forevermore. You won't be able to hurt me anymore. Hallelujah. For here am I, alive forevermore. You know, I told you how God for years would teach me the scriptures. And Jesus would come to me and teach me with examples and carry me into a vision and teach me. And so I asked God to show me the resurrection. The resurrection. And he showed me the saint that the time would come when they would start to kill Christians. In our time here, just widespread, the government would kill Christians. And they had a guillotine. And I found myself in France. Now, at that time, I did not know Paris. But I saw where five streets came in and anybody who knows Paris will know what I'm talking about. And there was a lamp, one of those old street lamps there at the street. And I was standing right there. And the Eiffel Tower was off to the right. Amen? But there was a guillotine on a hill. Amen. And they were killing Christians. I mean, I'm cutting the story short. And God said, after it went on, there was a great mourning and groaning. And I heard the Christians crying and say, oh God, you have forsaken us. God has forsaken us. Because there seemed to be no help for the Christians. And then God called up his army. Some of the you brethren who were there as part of God's army. He called his army and said, now you go and get yourself killed. Amen.
Amen.
Now brethren, if you receive immortality and you know you have it, how hard would it be for you to go get yourself killed? Oh, you'd laugh at that. You'd be laughing. And so, I saw this long line of people going up to the guillotine from that side. Another long line coming up there. And you could see some people dejected. They were just going. But you could see some people were full of joy. And they were calling to one another across. And they were praising God, going up to the gate. And so it came to pass that when they killed the sons of God, there was darkness.
Hallelujah.
And I remember that scripture said that immediately after the tribulation of these days, verse 29 in Matthew 24, that the sun shall be darkened, and the moon, which is the church, shall not give her light. And the stars, which are the sons of God, shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall they see the sign of the Son of Man. Let me tell you, brethren, the sign of the Son of Man is Christ Jesus coming out in human flesh.
Amen.
That's the sign they're going to see. Before they see Jesus, they're going to see you. And they're going to see Christ in you. And so, actually, he showed me this. And then, after they killed the sons of God, and there was great rejoicing. And they said, we got them. At last we got them. And it was in the newspapers. It was everywhere. Everybody now knew. And the pictures and everything were there. And then suddenly, they wouldn't even bury them. They had them on show. And then, all of a sudden, before everybody, the sons of God got up. I always had the fun to say, the man got up and picked up his head and put it on. He said, hello. Pick up his head. Because it was, they were killing them with the cutting off of the head. And when I see the Muslims now cutting people's heads off, I say, we are getting there. We are getting there. You see, they want to cut your head off to make sure you're dead. And God wants them to make sure you're dead. Uh-huh. Amen. You remember the case with Jesus? They made sure he was dead. Yeah. They pushed a sword up in his side, in the dead man's side. You see? And pierced his heart to make sure he was dead. Yeah. And that is the fact that made the resurrection so glorious. Mm-hmm. So, when they made sure these people were dead, and they had a Christmas party, because they were sending presents one to another, and commending each other for, at last, these people who tormented them so badly. They couldn't carry on their program. Do you know why the world cannot carry on certain programs? It's because of you Christians. Just us being here, we are preventing the darkness. We are preventing the people of the world from doing the things they want to do. But blessed be to God Almighty, as they were rejoicing, these people got up. And I heard the voice of God say, go back to the courthouse. Now, when Jesus Christ was crucified, he rose, but he never showed himself to anybody but Christians. Only Christians he showed himself to. Now God is saying to the sons of God, go show yourself to everybody. You know why? You have a neighbor who knows you very well, and he saw you get killed, and you come back to that neighbor and said, hi, hello. Amen. That's going to make him be saved immediately. He is going to believe God. I believe God is going to sweep the earth for the last time with salvation to deliver the people. Hallelujah. And that is a testimony that's going to deliver them. Hallelujah. And when that happened, they went to the courthouse, and this man went in and said, I want to speak to the clerk of the court. And, you know, we don't have time. He said, yes, I am so and so. The man looked at him. And he was so frightened that he ran. Because he saw the man that he had condemned to death and the man that they had just killed. And so that is going to shock the whole world. God said, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Hey, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, giving you that vivid picture, it is what God has brought me upon. That's the way he taught me. That's the way he teaches me. He shows me the things naturally, and I can understand it. And I'm supposed to pass it on to you. Amen. Now, he says that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he'll gather together all them that are. And we are now in the dispensation of the fullness of times. The seventh millennium is the fullness of all the other millennium, all the other times. Everything that God did from the beginning right down is coming to a conclusion here. And God is saying that you are the people on whom the ends of the earth have come.
Amen.
And he is teaching us how to bring deliverance to the world. Now, I said we had the saints with us. I don't know if some of you have seen any of them, but we have seen them all the while. Amen. Right here, 2 days ago, I saw one there, one here. And the point is, it's unusual now for you, but as you progress in God, you will find that you call to God for help, and a saint of God will come and help you. I'm going to tell you a story that the brother might not want me to tell you, but I'll tell you a story. We went to India. And, Satan always works his things, plan his things. So we went to one of the brothers' homes, and they got some men to go up on a coconut tree and to pick coconuts. and gave us. So he picked the coconuts, chopped it off, and we were there drinking this coconut water. And I don't know, but I really drank a lot of coconut water. But what happened is that when the coconuts fell to the earth, there was an old coconut there on the earth that the man picked up and chipped it, thinking it was one of the gifts, and gave it to me. And man, I took sick immediately. And I had to go to the hotel and lie down. And I fall asleep, the devil came in and told the brother to go for a walk. Now, normally you don't go for a walk in Nagercoil. You don't go for a walk, and there's so many of you going together or something like that. He went for the walk, and he didn't know where he was. And Satan began to lead him down into what they call the killing field. There was a section there that the police don't go. No police, nobody goes there. Because down there, it's a tribal thing. They kill people down there, offering them as sacrifices. And this brother began to walk down this road. So he saw that the road was empty, nobody. All of a sudden, a man appeared before him. Turn back. He said, but I'm just walking out. The man says, turn back. And he could not pass the man. And he was determined to go on. And the man grabbed him by his hand. And this is a young, strong fellow. And you know who we are talking about. But I apologize to him when I see that I tell his story like this. And the man grabbed him by his hand, and he had no power to resist him. And the man hauled him back right out, put him on the main road, and said, go that way. And he said it was very funny, but when he turned around to look at the man,
gone.
He was gone.
Yes.
God sent one of the saints. Because when that man held him, it was a physical man that held him. Hallelujah. God sent one of the saints in a very tight position to save him. And he was disobedient and resisting him, and he still saves him. But I tell you, God saved our whole mission. Because if he had been killed on that mission, you know, it would be a horrible thing for us. You know, and it would be a political problem too. United Americans get killed in India, you know, that sort of thing. So we thank God, but we have had many experiences, and I tell you some of it. Some of the times, the experiences that you have, you don't know that it is not an ordinary person. Some experiences you have had.
Yes.
And if we are in a tight spot, God will send an angel to deliver us.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you yesterday, how the angel spoke to Brother Clouson in Czech Republic. He was confused with the message that we were bringing. And he walked out into the field just to wonder what to do. And a man appeared before him and said, I'll allow you to be a minister if you want. I'll allow you to pastor a church if you want to do it. I have nothing against you if you want to be a Christian. But if you go with these people, I'll kill you. This is not a dream. Hallelujah. And when he told him that, he just knew exactly what he was going to do. He's going with these people. Definitely. But the devil doesn't have the power to kill you. And God give you life. So, here we are then with the word of God. Jesus said he'll give us the glory, and the glory is going to make us one. Now, if you find out that you cannot be one with those who are one with Christ, you are in trouble. For we will claim everyone who is in Christ as one of us. our brother and sister. We don't care what, where you are, what you belong to. And God is delivering his people out of denominations, out of different sects. You know, this one is this and that is that. I don't want to call any names, but this is Tulsa, man. And you know the kind of thing that is here. All the division, the different kingdoms. As I told you, one brother got up and said that this is his kingdom. Mm-hmm. He's talking about the church that fellowship under his roof. See, we are hearing a last word from God. That the will of God for his people is that we may be one, even as God Almighty and the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost are one. Yesterday, we gave you the picture of the oneness. I don't want to read it because it's too much time. But there's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Mm-hmm. You know, like a gyroscope turning around like this. And in the middle, there was the four living creatures. One here, one here, one here, one here. And then the wheels are turning over there. And when the wheels lift, the creatures lift. When the wheels move, the creatures move. What are we talking about? We are talking about man's soul as the living creatures. Man's mind, man's emotions, man's will, man's desires. All working as one unit, though it's four different things. You know, see, it has different energy. You follow what I mean? Your mind energizes your emotions, energizes your desires, energizes your will, and so the Spirit of God now was moving on the outside. But then that was the picture that was shown in the Old Testament. But the picture in the New Testament now, let me show you what it is. You read from verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. All right, we go down to verse 23. I in them, that's Jesus in us. All right? And thou in me, if Jesus is in you and the Father is in Jesus, then the Father is in you. But here it is. And they, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God is saying that there is a union, a unity that comes about through being in Christ. You don't have to go and join anybody. You don't have to join. Amen. Amen. You are joined to Christ. Amen. And immediately you are there. Now, there are three blood covenants that God gave to the church. Three blood covenants God gave to the church. First of all, you baptize in water. Water baptism is a blood covenant because it includes death. Till death. It says, buried with him in baptism, we rise again in newness of life. So when you are baptized in water, you make a covenant with God that I will die this flesh, this carnality, this humanity, I will give away. In other words, you have signed the death warrant of your humanity.
Amen.
The death warrant of your humanity. I will give up my humanity in order that Christ may take the place where my human thoughts are. And so you made this covenant, and so that's the first covenant you made. Now, if you really made that covenant at baptism, mm-hmm. you are going to enter into this next baptism.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Which is the baptism into the Holy Ghost. Just like you were dipped into the water, you will be baptized into the Holy Ghost. So that the wheel that was spinning outside is now going to spin inside. Because the wheel is the Spirit of God, God in Christ. Amen. And if God in Christ now said, I in you, and you in me, so the wheel, the spinning wheels, going to be inside of the individual person. That's the covenant you make. Now, that covenant takes you into three places. It takes you into the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost takes you into Christ. Man baptized you into water. Christ Jesus baptized you in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost baptized you into Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, that's baptism. Then it comes, we have a thing we call communion. In other words, if you are really one with Christ, then you have a communion service. Did you know that it is another covenant mm-hmm. unto death?
Amen.
Let me show it to you. You turn your Bibles with me, keep a finger in John, and you turn with me over to the 11th chapter there. Is it Hebrew? First Corinthians 11. I can't even find 1 Corinthians. It says here that verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Huh? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many die. Now, why would Paul say that it included death? Just having a communion service includes death. Because I am making a covenant with Christ and with another person.
Amen.
Amen. A covenant with Jesus Christ and a covenant with the brethren.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot deny anyone. If I deny the brother, I deny Christ. For Christ was a part of the covenant. So when we think about the covenant of the communion, it is an exercise, amen, of unity, of oneness, to when Jesus said that they may be one. That's why he died.
Mm-hmm.
That they may be one, even as we are one. God Almighty, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost are one. That they may be one. God Almighty wants us to be one.
Amen.
Even as God is one.
Amen.
With Christ.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Then now, we come to the third one. Another blood covenant. Marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage. Mm-hmm. Marriage, brethren.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. You take another human life. Mm-hmm. And you say to that human person, mm-hmm, I love you. I pledge thee. You know, the old time,
my troth.
I pledge thee my troth. In other words, I am pledging my life to you.
Amen.
It's a deadly serious thing. You can't take that life away back.
Amen.
After you have gone and married that person. It's a blood covenant. And just as the communion, we change the emblems. You consummate that marriage, and your body becomes one with the other person's body. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are the things, therefore, that Satan works against in the last days.
Yeah.
If Satan wants to beat the church, that's what he does. He tries to separate man and wife. And this destruction is being carried out. And the church of God must rise up and
Amen.
Stop the
Amen.
Devil.
Amen.
But
Amen.
Sometimes they can't stop the devil because they themselves are involved in the weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, Adam knew nothing about mother and father. And Adam got up and prophesied. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his mother and father and cling unto his wife, and they both shall be one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Adam said so.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus Christ, in quoting Adam, you know what Jesus said in the 19th chapter of Matthew? He said, God said, he didn't say Adam said. He said, God said, for this cause will a man leave his mother and father, cling to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. The reason he says so is because any time you approach a woman to ask her to marry you, you are walking according to God's holy ordinance. That is God's will. And so Satan brings in all that kind of abomination. Hey! That he has two men marrying, two women marrying, Rosie or Daniel. Have her on the television, splattering all over the thing. A filthy woman. Hi! A filthy woman. Have your children looking at her, listening to her. What do you think happened?
Mm.
Then she ministered the homosexuality to your children.
Yeah.
Right in your home, you have homosexuality being ministered. If I turn the television on and Rosie O'Donnell is there, I turn it off quickly.
Amen.
Because she is ministering death. You know, poor thing.
Yeah.
Looking back at it, you have to pray for her.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon that. She's in the gall of bitterness.
Yes, amen.
She's lost. But then I don't want that in my home.
Amen.
I don't want that for my children.
Yeah.
You see. And so others too, you know. There are others too. Amen. But the great travesty is that the thing has come into the body of Christ, the church. No, I'm not talking about just the Pentecostal church. Has come in. Remember now, the Lord says that his church has apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers. Among the apostles and prophets come the homosexuality. Man marrying man, ministering to you, putting on TV programs. Amen.
Amen.
big programs for God every day. People are preaching on these things. And I say, brethren, if I was part of a program and there was the leader of that program into homosexuality, I'd approach him immediately. You can't lead this program anymore. Mm-hmm. Amen. If you repent, step out. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because God said it is an abomination. Mm-hmm. An abomination. And so Satan has used this abomination to split the people of God and to split the church. He comes into homes and he will bring all manner of problems. Amen. Some of them are real. Some are imaginable. Huh? Some of the problems are real. Some of the problems are imaginary. But whether they are real or imaginary, they are problems. And we have got to begin to stand up against the spirits that are coming into homes and dividing homes.
Amen.
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 Yes. Yes. The wife must know how much the husband loves her. Husbands, you must not forget to tell your wives
Amen.
How much you love them.
Amen.
You must not forget, because the devil is bombarding them with the thought that you don't love them. And if you do anything that looks suspicious, amen,
that's true.
You are helping the devil.
Amen.
And so God Almighty is talking to us. We have to rise up and begin to pray for the church.
Yes.
Pray for the marriages.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I remember one time there was a thing that was sent out to all the witches that they must begin to bombard the marriage couples in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then there is something else too, that Satan has become a marriage officer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. He has become a marriage officer.
Yeah.
Satan has begun to try to get, here it is, a girl, a young girl, to marry the wrong person. You know there's a right person and there's a wrong person.
Yeah.
Girls, you know there's a right person and there's a wrong person. Just ask God Almighty to help you never to choose the wrong person.
Amen.
I never forgot a situation that occurred with me. I was at my house one day and I saw a brother coming up the driveway. And I said, "Brother, what brings you here?" Because, why, this brother is from America and I'm in Jamaica. He said, "Well, he just felt like coming. I knew God sent him there for some reason." Amen. He'd been there for about a month and so one day I called him and I said, "Tell me now, my brother John, tell me, have you a girl somewhere that you would like to marry?" He said, "My problem is that I have two. Two girls in my mind, and I don't know which one I would like to marry." I said, "All right, please describe the girls to me." And he began to describe them. And one of the girls was, well, you young ones don't understand what I mean, but I want to try it. Well, Elizabeth Taylor. In my time, it was Mae West.
Oh, wow.
It was Mae West. But one of the girls, as he described her, his eyes lighted up. And I could see that that's the one he really wanted. But she was Mae West, or Elizabeth Taylor. And I said, "All right, describe the other girl now." And he described the other girl. And she was a straight back, thick glasses, teacher type. And he didn't want to marry that one. And I said, all right, let me pray with you. And we prayed. And I said, look here, John, God wants you to marry this other girl. Mae West is beautiful, pretty, everything, not a wife, not the person you want to walk with you through the gospel and in Christ. I said, I think the other girl is the one you should marry. He said, well, all right, I'm going to put a fleece before God. You and I alone know that I will be going home tomorrow, back to Florida. Now, if God will let that girl come to the airport to meet me, then I will believe. I will believe it's God. I won't go any further. I will drop the Mae West idea. That was a tall one for God. Well, he and I went down. We got the ticket. I put him on the plane in Montego Bay. And he went home. When he came out of the airport, there was a girl standing up, waiting for him. But God had even a better one over him. When she picked him up in the car, she said, you mind if I drive and show you something before you go get home? He said, yes. She drove him around the block and took out a key, opened a house, said, you like it? Said, God told her to buy the house. He called me back. He said, there's no way I could do anything else but Amen. Just marry her. Last time I saw them, they had 7 children. But that is just to give you an idea. Oh, God is so interested in you. Amen. God is so interested in you. You wouldn't know how much God's heart bleeds when you make the wrong moves in life. Because one wrong move, you turn on the wrong road, and that is it. Yeah. Your life is finished. Oh, Lord, I see so many young people whose lives have been marred. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. I remember one of my boys, I was in California, and he called me and said, Dad, he said, I met a girl, and she is just so precious. He said she loved the Lord so much that she has a prayer meeting every midday. Now, he doesn't know, because he's at work. He's working all day. Now, at that time, he was at school, right? He was at school. He was going to the university, and he was at school all day. But he would come home in the evenings, and her mother was a pastor of a church. And they recommended him. And oh, he was so delighted over how God would have him to marry this girl. Mother and I said, please don't marry the girl until we get there. We are on our way from California. It will take us a couple of days. Don't marry her. But when the girl's mother decided, boy, maybe if they come, they're going to stop this. And before we got there, they were married. Well, we discovered afterwards that her prayer meeting was in the bar. She was a, what do you call them, strip tease. And, but he had already married her. And he decided to stay with her. Amen. Well, we love her so much. we treated her so well. And one day she came to me and said, "Dad, I have deceived you all for a long time. I can't carry it out any longer." I said, "But you can. I mean, we know. We haven't been deceived. We know what you are. Just turn to the Lord and so on, so on." And we begged her, because you're married already. And he knew, we begged her, "Stay." She said, "No, she can't take it any longer." She left. Well, she died. Praise God. She died. Eventually. But I'm letting out all these secrets to you. I'm sure he's there listening to this now. Because this is going over the airways. But the young people must know that God cares about you.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. A rough time.
Jesus.
Terrible time. Oh, God, preserve you, children.
Mm-hmm.
May God help you. It's better for you never to be married than to be married to the wrong person.
Amen. Oh, my God.
Bye.
Amen.
Amen. We have another girl. And now I'm going all over the world, remember now. So another part of the world, she comes to us and she says, "I want to marry such and such a man. God has given us a prophetic ministry. And the man who is a prophet said to her, 'The Lord God says, don't marry that man.' He and I got her together and we pray with her. And when we were finished praying with her, she said, 'Well, she make a promise already and a commitment, she's going to marry him.' We know she's going into trouble. But we didn't know she was really going into hell. We didn't know what the hell it was she was going into. She went in. She married him. And the man, you know, I won't say what he was, but he was bad. And she lived in the United States with him. And he would treat her very bad, beat her sometimes. And they had 3 children. But God delivered her that he had to leave the United States. I just got the news a couple of days ago. She died. Hard. It was a hard life. You see, from the time she made that turn, turn away from God's order, she had sealed her destiny. May God Almighty help you, young people. I'm saying this to turn off some of you from the path that you may go. If you want to marry someone, don't just go ahead with it. Get the older heads. Get your parents. Get the church to pray with you. Let it be. Let God. You see, he can see over there. I can't see further than the beautiful face. Mm-hmm. Amen? The lovely girl, the beautiful face, and everything else. And it's all so exciting. You lose your senses.
Amen.
When you fall in love, you lose your sense.
Yes, you
do. Amen? The little thing says, love is blind, and lovers cannot see. Amen. You fall in love, it's a fall.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And God Almighty alone, he knows what's down the road.
Amen.
And he alone can direct you.
Amen.
Talk to the young people everywhere. Friendly with them. Get on close to them. Whether yours or somebody's, get close to them. Be nice to them. Let them trust you. They may tell you some of the things that they are suffering. God Almighty will save you. Satan is in the business of destroying the divine order of God. The fivefold ministry has almost been destroyed in the church. Apostle, prophet, shepherd, the evangelist, shepherd, and teachers. They appoint a thing called a pastor. But you cannot appoint anybody in the fivefold ministry, because the scripture said God has set in his church.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you are is where God set you. You should be that.
Amen.
And as we spoke yesterday, and when Brother Hagin wrote his book, that first book he wrote, in the days I read it, and I was with the man 100%, and then he said, God said he is a prophet. God ordained Hagin a prophet. Kenneth Hagin, I'm talking about. God ordained him a prophet. Don't you move from being a prophet to be a teacher.
Amen.
You love teaching. It's exalting you a great deal. A wonderful thing. But he immediately opened a school. Went contrary to God's order. Brethren, whatever you are,
amen,
abide, help me,
amen,
in your calling. Abide, don't covet the calling of somebody else. Hallelujah. God made you a pillar in the church. You know what? You ever talk to the pillars? He just stand there. Huh? Remove him. Remove that pillar and see what happened. The roof comes down. The church have some pillars that stand up there. And they are holding the whole church up. Don't try to change them into a battering ram or anything else. It's going to destroy what God is doing. We must learn to remain in the church. You know, there are some people. I know some women that have stood with us from the beginning of the ministry. God anoint them just to stand there. Nobody knows what they are doing. But they have become the pillars of support on which our ministry functions.
Yes.
You never heard us going about begging anybody money, doing this and that, plant a seed here and you will become rich. What a lie.
Amen.
Reject it, brethren.
Amen.
God plants pillars to hold his roof up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God create people to be pillars. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, Satan comes against them. He wants to move them. He wants to kill them. But God protects them.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to understand. The three covenants, all blood covenant cannot be broken.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me?
Amen.
If you leave your wife for any other cause but adultery, you have broken the covenant with her. You break the covenant with God.
Amen.
You don't tell me you're going out there to preach after you did that. Because you made a covenant with her and with God, and that covenant is eternal. Suppose it is your lunch time.
No.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. So, I just want to round up what I'm saying. That at the heart of God, the desire of God is that we should be one.
Amen.
And anything, anybody, any doctrine that divides us and separates us is of the devil.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to tempt you a little bit to ask me a few questions before we close, because this is the last meeting. And I want to tempt you a little bit to ask me a few questions. And I tell you what it does for me personally. When you ask me a question, the Lord gives me the answer. And sometimes that's how I get my answers, by you asking me a question. So I believe that God has brought us here together, and that God has really blessed us. And I am telling you, the way Satan has attacked me, it shows that he's really mad.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that he's mad.
Amen.
Amen. So, I want to ask you, if you had anything in your hearts to ask me as a question, do it now before we close.
I'd like to have you explain just a little bit more.
Can you hear down there? Good.
Just a little bit more about how without a word, without preaching, without saying a word, Christ will be ministered to our loved ones and our workplace and those around us.
Oh, yes, yes.
I'd just like to understand that a little better, a little clearer.
We are two-thirds spirit. And one third matter. We. So most of what we do, it's in the spirit done. The things that we do physically, the body, is only a result of what is being done in the spirit. So thoughts of your heart, desires, intentions, and all that, they are spiritually imparted out to others without your saying anything. Now, there's a certain amount of glory that is in you and it comes out of you. If we were all spirits here, or if a spirit comes in here, what he sees, he looks at you, he doesn't necessarily see your body as such. He's looking at the brightness that is coming off of you. They call it the aura, whatever. But it is really the energy, the glory of God in you. If you are really up in the spirit, you'll be very bright. He can't come close to you. An evil spirit won't come close to you if the glory of God is in you. Now, it shows then that when the glory of God is in you, it affects other people's spirits.
Amen.
Amen. And it affects the whole atmosphere. And as I say, that our being in, Christians being in the world, that is what is holding back a lot of the darkness and the destruction from coming forth. You know, there's such a story that gives you an idea. Lot was in Sodom. God said, I can't destroy Sodom until I take Lot out. He took Lot out. Lot said, please send me to that little city up there, a little one, Zoar, send me please, don't let me go into the mountain. I said, they sent him to the city. And the word of God says that because Lot went to that city was not destroyed.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So you can understand what God is saying about you being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's the answer.
Brother Buzil, in conjunction with that, do you think there should be a word of warning to the church about this book, The Secret,
give.
That speaks
about positive attraction and how they're taking so much of God's word and mixing it? And I would like to tell everyone that I feel it is not of the Lord and that they should beware. It's this thing that's been so brought, you know, they've sold millions of books called The Secret. I don't know if you know about it at this time.
No. Tell us about it.
Well, it's just a book that they devised a thing to imagine. And you make a board and put on there what you want. and you know, if you're seeking a husband or if you're money or whatever, and it's and the, they say the secret is the positive attraction. You begin to, I mean, it's very popular.
Yes,
and they're selling millions of books to, and it's delusion.
Yes, it's nothing new.
Mm-mm.
It's an old time occult practice.
Yeah.
It's an occult practice that the occult person will come in and he'll concentrate on you and pass his thoughts on to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we the Christians, we're not doing that. We're just concentrating on God and God will do the rest.
And my other question is different, is when you were speaking on the fivefold ministry last night, in a given area, since sometimes there seems to be a shortage of true apostles, evangelists, shepherds, and so forth, is it possible that a brother, a saint, would function in two of those offices as the call came necessary in a given area? I mean, it's not the perfect will of God, but would it be possible, or should it be, that a brother would function in one or more of the fivefold ministry offices?
Yeah, the apostolic ministry is of such, if you notice the apostolic ministry in the scriptures, as God showed it to you, the apostles function in all the ministries.
Yes.
He functions in all the ministries. But a prophet is more restricted,
mm-hmm.
that he must not say anything unless he receives it from the Lord. And then you have the evangelist should only say what he is taught from the apostolic ministry that has been given. Now, when you talk about an apostolic ministry, you don't have to have an apostolic ministry in your area. Amen. We, the whole church, is following a certain apostolic direction, which is wrong. In other words, as I said, Darby, Schofield, and all those people have let loose a certain thing. You have, like with the name it and claim it doctrine, you know, those are all apostolic utterances which are leading the people away from God. You see, so there are things that they follow. They read books, they follow, that is how it goes, you see. Now, we didn't know Paul, and we didn't know John, but we read it in the Bible. And we follow what they gave us from God. So there are apostolic directions in every age. In every age, God will put forth an apostolic direction. But Satan is putting out his apostolic direction. And the church so far has picked up the whole thing and following the direction that the enemy is leading, like the rapture direction. It turns people off of truth. You see, because they believe they're going to be raptured out, so okay, we can do anything, we're going to be raptured out one day. And that is part of the deception. So you can understand what I mean then when we talk about apostles. You don't have to have an apostle in Fort Gibson or an apostle here, but you follow the apostolic direction that God is leading the whole church.
Amen.
Praise God.
We had a question from an online listener, and they're asking, what is the scripture that supports brethren that have died before helping us now? I thought it was just angels. And will all those brethren, this may be a separate question, will all those brethren, saints that have died before, will they all rise up and be a part of the body of Christ at the dawning of the kingdom, or is there an ongoing resurrection?
All right. Thank you. Brethren, you must understand that this meeting is being broadcast over the whole world. And what Brother Wickbold is saying is that he has got a call from somebody. You have any idea of where the person is from, brother?
In Colorado.
In Colorado, okay. Now, if we turn then our Bibles, let us find it in the scripture, because I really love for people to want to have the scripture for what we are preaching. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we see on the 40th verse, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So he's talking about the brethren who have gone on before. Now the next verse after that said, wherefore, because of that, because these people are depending on us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience that is set before us. So it seems to me that we are compassed about with the brethren. Amen. So that the saints who are gone on before are not separated from us, they are with us. Amen. Now then, in the other verse we read, it was in Ephesians, which says that let's find it, the Thessalonians or Ephesians, I don't know.
Ephesians
1:10. Can you read it there? You got it there. Ready? That in the dispensation of the fullness of times,
yes,
God will gather together all them that are in the heavens and them that are on earth. That means the brothers who have gone on before and those who are on the earth together into one in Christ. So that that verse says that we are with the saints and the saints are with us. Did that answer? Would that answer be complete, or we need to get on a little more?
Would the appearance of the angel in Revelation, in the end of Revelation, also be a good answer for that, brother?
Hallelujah. Yes. In Revelation, we see, it was what? 19? Oh yeah, I got mine.
19:10.
Yes, read that for us.
The one where he fell at his feet.
Sonny, yeah, please take the mic to this brother. He's reading Revelation 19:10.
I hope that's the one that you want, where he fell at his feet to worship him.
Yeah.
And said, "See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus."
Yes.
Worship God, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes. And there's another one, there's another scripture too, that said, "I am one of your brothers."
Yes.
The angel that appeared to John, he said, "I am one of your brothers who had the testimony of Jesus." And the other one said, "I am one of the prophets." So then, both the Old Testament prophets and the people in the New Testament time are also part of this working group. Here's another scripture we can find. Lend me that mic, dear brother.
This is Hebrews 1, chapter 1, verse 7, also 1:14. It says, "And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." It says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?"
Yes, so that these ministering spirits are sent of God to minister to us. Yes.
Just for the record, the one that you quoted was chapter 20, Revelation 22:9, was, "I am thy fellow servant and of the prophets."
Yes, Revelation 22:9. And Revelation 19, 10. Good. Praise God. That's the answer to that question.
Praise the Lord.
There's a second question on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. What?
The question.
Yeah. Read it again.
Yeah. The second question there was, will all those brethren, saints that have died before, will they all rise up and be a part of the body of Christ at the dawning of the kingdom, or is there an ongoing resurrection?
No, there is not an ongoing resurrection. They will all come together. God says they will come together in one. Yes. Okay. Yes. Read. That is in Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Them that are gone before. She's going to read that for you. And verse 15. Going now. What verse is that, Mary?
Oh, it was 17.
17, verse 17.
17, yeah.
First Thessalonians.
Read it, man.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. No, before that he said they will not prevent.
Verse 16?
15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep.
In other words, we will not go before. The word prevent there means go before. All right. Any more questions? Yes, over there.
Brother DeSale, when you were talking about the guillotine and the Christians, you know, appearing very sad that they were going to be killed, and then there was another group that you call the sons of God that were joyfully going to the line. What is the difference between the Christians and the sons of God?
Well, those who are born again are Christians. And some of them never reach the stage of overcomers. But if you notice that in Revelation chapter 14, he said that there was standing on Mount Zion 144,000 with Jesus himself. And that these are they, verse 6, these are they which... Let's read it. Revelation 14, verse 6. A description of overcomers, which were not defiled with women. 14:4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Those were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
Yes.
And unto God and to the Lamb. The Lamb means they were an offering. You understand that? They were the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. They were also offered up as lambs.
And the other question that I have is, they wouldn't let these people...
Wait, you have the mic?
Yes.
Okay, good.
They wouldn't let these people who had been killed be buried.
Yes.
And they were sending presents to one another. Do you have any scripture for that?
Oh, yes. The scripture says so, that they rejoiced over them. Where is that now? Read that for somebody.
Verse 10.
Yeah. Huh? Somebody read that. Revelation 11:10.
Start at verse 8.
Yes. Verse 8, somebody read, please.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another.
Christmas.
Because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, that's your answer, sister.
I believe it was last night when you were sharing, you were talking about that it would no longer be the Trinity, but it would be a foursome. And I was wondering if there's a scripture for that. I just never heard it put that way before. So,
well, I don't think it came that way before, but it came last night. Amen. Can you imagine? Jesus said, I in the Father, and the Father in me, and you in me, and I in you. And it just, you know, it just says it goes before it was. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and us being in one together.
Brother DeSeal.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate? You touched on this a little. In Revelation 16:13, the three unclean spirits like frogs that came out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. These are spirits of devils working miracles. Can you elaborate a little on the definition of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet?
Amen. The dragon, the picture of the dragon is in chapter 13 of Revelation. It speaks of the nations coming together. You know, that could not be a natural picture. Because it has seven heads and 10 horns. And God never made anything with seven heads. So, it is a coming together of the European nations. Now, I say the European nations because the symbols are all European symbols. The lion, that's the British Empire. The
leopard.
The leopard, France.
There's the bear.
The bear, Russia.
Yes.
And then the dragon suggests China. You see what I'm saying? The dragon suggests China. So we are talking about these European nations being together with China and forming a united front against God. See? Now, that's the dragon. Now, you talk about the beast. Now, in the scripture, God described the word beast as a soul without God. In other words, an animal dies, goes to the earth, and he's finished. But the soul of a man has a contact with a spirit. So you are spirit, soul, and body, but the beast is soul and body. Mm-hmm. Follow me? Mm-hmm. Now, if a man loses his spirit, the spirit that draws him back to God, he's a beast. You see? Now, like with Hitler, he was one of the beasts of the earth because he had totally rejected his spirit. And he was totally cut off from God. And he became so brutal that he had no sense, no feelings, no human compassion. You know, although we heard that he was in love with a girl and so on, so on, so. But it is all physical.
Amen.
You see. So, if you understand then that when God speak of the beast, the definite article, the, meaning that there's a special man who is going to be a beast, a Hitler type, that will head up the European consortium. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that man will have, it said the prophet, false prophet.
The third one is the false prophet.
Pseudo prophet. Okay. That false prophet is I said the other night that it sounds to me very much like a Pentecostal. You know, it has to be a spirit of divination. That this false prophet will be part of this consortium and will be able to show them actually the devil will be in the midst. Yeah. Yes, that's what it means. Let me elaborate on some knowledge rather than on what God is saying, on knowledge. Right now, what we're seeing happening is that the Islamic nations are provoking the other nations. Now, if the nations of the world rise up, Islam would be destroyed overnight. Right?
Yeah.
And that is a trigger that is going to trigger off this great destruction. But God said that the birth of the sons will stop the destruction. That in the middle of the destruction, the sons of God will rise up and stop it.
Amen.
Now, we don't know if it is 3.5 years after 2008, or at the beginning of 2008, or you understand, we don't really know, so we just leave that to God. But God is going to rise up the sons. That's why we are in a very, very peculiar situation right now, because we know that the destruction will come in the year 2008. We know that the atomic war will come in the year 2008. The devastation, the famine that will follow, the hunger is going to take some time. And God said it will be a time of trouble as never was since God made man and never shall be anymore. So then, it is at that time, at that time, God is going to rise up the sons, and the sons will stop the destruction. But when the sons stop the destruction, the Antichrist, the beast, the false prophet, they are going to rise up and say, all right, we take over now. Then battle of Armageddon is a battle between the forces of the world and the devil now joined together as against the church.
Yes.
You won't know. There won't be no shadowy division there. It will be a division. Those who are of God will be on one side, and those who are of the devil will be on one. And then the power of God will stand on our side and bring deliverance. And when the final deliverance comes is when the forces of darkness are put down. But you see, this is the seventh millennium, and this is the time when God is bringing the earth to a rest. So this situation won't last for more than 3.5 years after it started. And then peace will come to earth. Jesus Christ will reign.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. A question. The mic there. The mic.
It's not really a question.
But then, brother is asleep.
I did a little research on the finger. My dictionary said the finger is one of five divisions at the end of the hand. And Nikki and I looked it up on the internet this morning, thumb, and it says it's a special finger.
Woo! So then we all learn some knowledge here now. The thumb is a finger. Hallelujah. Thank you. That's good.
Okay, Brother DeSille, we know that God's time clock is set by the feasts. Okay? And we know that Jesus Christ was slain on Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he was born around tabernacles.
Okay. So, is there a specific time of the year when you feel that this cataclysmic thing, has God shown you anything as far as, because we know that even the sons of God, the ministry of the sons of God must start according to God's calendar, and yeah, that will be connected to a feast. So as God, I know it's a trick question,
the spiritual feast of tabernacles, yeah, is the time when we will be tabernacling with Jesus.
Yes.
And when the sons of God will go in. Son. Now that's the spiritual feast of tabernacles. Now, we do not know if the feast will come according to the Jewish calendar of tabernacles. Now remember, the Jewish calendar says that the year begins somewhere in April, May. According to the year. So therefore, tabernacles wouldn't come according to our years,
right.
But according to Jewish tabernacle time. So all we have to do is to wait and see what will happen in the next tabernacle. But I do believe there's something to it, to what you're saying. Yes, brother.
Brother DeSeal, a little bit ago we read scripture about the sons of God, and it said we're not defiled by women.
Yes.
Would you explain that? I'm assuming the women was the churches, the outer court church?
Yeah.
Churches. Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. It had to be referring to a spiritual thing rather than a natural woman. For the first part of it says that, and the standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb.
Yes.
And that is all spiritual references. Therefore, the woman must be a spiritual reference, speaking of being defiled with the religious system, which God called women.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yes.
Say that the same is as the 144,000.
Yes.
It's a spiritual, there's a spiritual interpretation of the 144,000 also.
The spiritual interpretation of the 144,000,
yes,
as we see in the 14th chapter of Revelation, are them that have not been defiled with women, who are the first fruits company. Mm-hmm. Now, all right, why is it then represented by a number? First of all, 12 is the number of completion.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 by 12 is a completed man. If you got completed, perfected today, you would be of no use to us if the body was not also completed. So it's a completed man in the completed body. Mm-hmm. 12 by 12, that's 144. God said that will be the dimensions of the walls of the city.
Mm-hmm.
You see, 144. And then 0 is Jesus, the seed. He's always called 0. So 0, 0, 0 would be the fullness of the seed. Good, better, best, fullness. So therefore, it's a completed man in the completed body in Christ, in the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Completed in the image, in fullness of Christ. And that's what 144,000 means. Yes.
In Revelation 12:6, and talking about the woman who flees to the wilderness, and the woman fled unto the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That would be the 3.5 years. Do you see a portion of that being a physical place where physical feeding would be going on as well as spiritual?
It couldn't be one place.
well placed.
Because people are all over the world. So there is, we have to say it is a spiritual area that God would have people being fed and delivered spiritually and naturally. Because the world would be wanting to destroy her. And it is a time of when the beast is reigning. So God is going to protect his people.
Now,
yes.
In that, and really I just want it more for the record, but so we have the understanding. When we are talking about the church systems, and say in this case, many that have been caught up in the things going on here in Tulsa, that there are a people who are a portion of the woman church that flees to the wilderness, and we have a responsibility toward them.
To feed them.
To feed them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make mention.
Yes, our responsibility is to the whole church.
Yes.
To feed the people of God.
Yeah.
To bring deliverance to every soul who accepts Jesus as your Savior, who is born again.
Yeah.
And they will not be in a position to fight. They will not be in a position of power. Because people are being born every day. And when the devil attacks, he would be able to destroy the brethren who were born yesterday. They are young, they don't have the power, they don't have the understanding. But God said no. His sons would defend them, would deliver them. And so it's not that God's going to gather everybody in the world into one wilderness out there.
Right, right.
But the wilderness is the world.
Amen.
Yeah.
And
okay.
He's going to take care of them, his people.
Amen.
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 Brother DeSille, just a word of encouragement to the young people. Okay, I'm a young person and I'm planning my career, I'm planning my future and my family, and you're telling me that 2008, all this is, can you just say a word of encouragement to the young people in that respect? Because I sense that.
Well, you are born in the time of the end of the world, and whether you are you believe God or not, it's coming. So woe be unto those who have no faith in God, who this thing comes down upon. So the time, what God is saying to you is that, well, be encouraged that because you believe in God, because you hear from God, you will be delivered.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I see a hand down there.
It was brought up about the Lord coming at the Feast of Tabernacles, and it brought a scripture to me how it was in John 7. It says that at the Feast of Tabernacles of the Jews, he sent the disciples up first. He said, "Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come." When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, and then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Now, doesn't the word say he comes in his people secretly?
Well, yes, it does. Amen. The Spirit of God comes into us. Jesus Christ comes into his temple secretly, not with a loud bang and a, you know.
Well, I thought it was interesting
but
that he went
something
secretly.
Something stirred in me when you read that scripture. Because here we are. In the Old Testament, they had the tabernacle. First they started with the first feast in the year was
Passover,
where the lamb was slain and they ate at night.
Yeah.
And do you know that exactly on that day Jesus Christ was offered?
Yes. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, shouldn't he return again? And the time when his return should be at Tabernacle?
Yes.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
So the only problem I have with that is that time has been so, you know, we don't know if
if January is March. You understand? And we don't know if May is July.
Amen.
Because things have been stirred up so much. Yeah. So actually, I think God will bring a revelation to us.
Amen.
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 My question is, what kind of preparations, spiritual and natural, can the people of God make in to get ready for the destruction that's coming in 2008?
Thank you.
And also, okay, that's good. Preparation.
That is a good note.
That's a good one.
That's a good note to end upon. Because without that, you know, we live in a vacuum there. Without that question and that answer, we'd be living in a vacuum. Now, what I believe is that why I am in Tulsa at this time is because God is saying to his people that you must get ready for what is to happen next year. Now, how do you get ready is the question. First of all, you must hear from God.
Amen.
First of all, in your little groups, in your little families, wherever, you must start seeking God.
Yeah.
Seeking God. Yeah. Let me hear from you, God. Is this what Seth is saying exactly as you want the church to understand? You must get it from God.
Amen.
You can't take what I say and run with it. Amen. This is what has been happening to the church all this time.
Amen.
They listen to the preachers and they run off.
Yeah.
You have to hear from God.
Amen.
Now, when you hear from God in your communities, you begin to get together. God begin to tell you what to do. Now, for instance, things that would come to me is like, if you expected an atomic attack, you would want to can as many things as you can, put them in cans, for that's the only thing you can eat when an atomic bomb blasts. Amen. They blew a bomb over in China one time, and the milk in Michigan, I was there at the time, the milk in Michigan was full of radiation, couldn't be used. When Chernobyl blew, the fowls and the chickens and the sheep and things had to be killed in London, in England, in Scotland. As far as that. So if you will understand, since we know all that, the churches should get together and all the spare food that is being thrown away, you should be canning them. Canning them. Even to give away. You're not canning them to say, well, we're going to sit down here and eat them for 3.5 years. No. You're going to be able to give to people who are hungry until it's finished.
Yes.
You see what I mean? Then God will help you. But that's the first thing should be done. Things should be canned. Even water should be, you should have basements or some place that you can start. And if churches get together, groups get together and do these things, you'd have something doing. A lot of people are idle.
Amen.
Alright. That is my thought. Okay? Then the next preparation is the spiritual preparation. You should be praying together and
Amen.
Hearing from God what to do.
Amen.
For let
Amen.
Me tell you something, a secret, that God may tell you to do something in your area and tell them in their area to do something else.
Amen.
Because as Brother Groover said, that he saw an army, an army of a Chinese army coming into San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the reality was so great that he really thought it actually was happening and it was a vision.
Yeah.
Now, if an army is coming in here, it means that you, the best thing for you in the case of an accident is being absent. I'm not telling you to run now. I'm just saying. if an army is coming here, The best place for you is not to be here. But you don't know. So God, if you are in contact with God,
yes, amen.
He'll do with you like what he did with the Christian in Hiroshima. Mm. When the bomb blasted there, women were down in the basement in a prayer meeting. And everyone was saved. Oh yes. And others had left overnight because there was a call from another city that some people, they had a disaster somewhere and the church left and they weren't there. And this man wrote the book. Amen. This pastor wrote the book of what happened and how God preserved the people without their knowing.
Amen.
So God is going to take care of you anyhow.
Amen.
But anything God tells you to do, do it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And that's a good addition there, sister. Thank you. Amen.
Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. Lord, we just thank you for this word that has came forth, God. And Lord, we just put a seal around this word, Lord God. And Father, with this seal, we seal this word to our heart, Lord God. And Lord, I just pray that as Brother Cecil asked us to do, he says, don't just take it for granted. He says, go to the Father. And Lord, your word says that one man plants, another water, but it's God that giveth the increase. So Father, we just ask, Lord God, that the people would go to you now for the increase, Lord God. And Father, we just pray blessings over Cecil and Mavis. And Father, we do pray for their bodies, Lord God. Father, we just pray for vitality and strength and life to flow into them. And God, I just pray, Lord God, that the anointing of the Holy Ghost would just save them and keep them, Father. And Lord, I also just pray, God, that wherever they go, Lord God, that there would just be ministering spirits ministering to them. And Lord, also, Lord God, that there would be many intercessors out there praying for them. Also, Lord God, that there would just be angels camped round about them. Singing the blood songs, Lord God, warring off the enemy, Lord God. And Father, we just thank you for all these people that showed up, Lord God. And I just thank you for the support and the blessing that they have been to this group here, Lord. Father, we just release these people to you, Lord God. And Father, I just pray safety and protection, Lord God, as we go our own ways today, Father. Lord, we thank you and we just bless you and we just give you great thanks, Lord God, for making this day possible. In Jesus' name. Amen.